It's the 19th of October, 2012, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. Your Ram Radio, the webcast host, Pastor John Coleman. Pastor, kind of retired from congregational pastoring, but never retired from the call. Because the call of God in my life is just as strong today as it was in 1982 when he called me to preach. My Christianity is just as, my goodness, it's functioning just as in 1967 when I first became a believer. I want to share something with you now because I was on the WND website. And they have an article that someone sent me an email about this morning. And it says, Public Schools and the Decline of Christianity in America. They were attempting to share with me that 90% of the children, 90% of Christian families send their children to public schools, and they're trying to inform the people that the public schools are the things that's ruining the spiritual lives of their young children that believe in Jesus and all of that. Well, let me share something with you. As a person that teaches philosophy in junior college, and I'm really blessed this semester to have three classes. And most of the youngsters in the classes that I teach do not see Christianity as America's faith. You know, if you go to Iraq, Iran, you go to Egypt, and the Muslim faith is very strong there. People are adamant about it. They have core groups to back up their faith. I was talking with a good brother from Maryland yesterday, Eric, and we were speaking about a frontline documentary that was on the television concerning the Baca Boys, and I was explaining something to the young man in Maryland about the cultures of different countries and how people live in different cultures. Let me share this right now. The culture of America at one time was that the American population believed in the Bible as the source of spiritual life for its citizens. That time is done. If you live in the Bible Belt, you have a lot of people that believed it there. But during time, there have been a lot of people in this country that were born and raised whose parents do not believe in Jesus, do not believe in the God that we believe in. And so, since we have these people that don't believe in the same God that we believe in, that don't have the same religious views, consequently, nor will their children. Now, in time, that culture that used to be Bible-based, that used to be, let's do it like this, that used to be Christian-based, has disappeared. Yes, you send your children to public schools, you have more non-Christian people teaching in public schools than Christians. So quite consequently, necessarily, they are not going to teach your children what you were taught. Now, if I'm talking to a generation that's my age, in their 60s, senior citizens, and a little below that, or a little above that, you know what I'm talking about. That we were given, that was supposed to guide us, no longer exists. It is no longer pertinent to their culture. What we believe, what our world was, is not their world. There is so much homosexuality, or what appears to be homosexual behavior, in America today, simply put, because God has been erased, and I see this Christian movement here trying to bring God back in, but I'm going to tell you, you're not going to do it by talking about these people, blasting these people's lives. That is not the way to get it done. If Christianity is ever going to have an effect on anyone, the anger that comes from Christians, that proceeds from them, is merely an indication of their frustration. Their frustration because they have gone after the wrong things in their faith, and thereby doing so have caused an open door agenda. And getting angry and calling San Francisco, what did this guy call it in this thing that I was just watching? He was calling San Francisco some kind of corrupt city or something like that. It's ridiculous to speak against people in such a way. Now, there is a video, and it's on YouTube, and it's entitled Former Russian Agent Public Schools Are Targeted, because the Russian agent, when he, and that's a 17-minute clip on YouTube. I'll give it to you again so that you can type it in your browser and search for it. It says a former Russian agent, public schools targeted. That was his little talk. This thing was done back in, I think, the 70s or the 80s. It was done years ago. And what he spoke about has come to pass. Now, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all. Nor does it shock me. I did all that I can to raise my children in a way that they would follow Christ. But I'm just telling you that that generation has not embraced that. They have not embraced that and wrapped their arms around it. Very rarely have I seen any generation that comes from people my age where their children has fully embraced the Christian lifestyle. It was a different world when I came up, and it was very easy for me to embrace the Christian idea, whereas that idea is archaic and something out of this world. I was in my classroom yesterday. It was in the philosophy of religion class, and of course, as I always do, I always stimulate the class to get involved in conversations with me about these particular issues. And I'm always asking them, what are your views on these issues? Set apart from them just sitting there staring back at me with nothing coming out of their mouths and apparently out of their minds. If they are thinking, I don't know what they're thinking. And it's rather frustrating to me at times. Though I don't get upset with them, I understand what happened. The educational system that they came up in has made them brain dead. They listen to me as if they are listening to, oh, this is one of these people that believe that fairy tale. They're gone. Their minds have been thoroughly overtaken, and it is done in the schools. The systematic destruction of our young people's minds has worked. When you go to, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but when you research and analyze particular life practices that is going on out of our young people these days, which did not go on when I was a young person, and then when my parents were young teenagers, these things, if they did go on, went on behind closed doors, and no one spoke about it, let alone filmed it and put it out there in the hundreds and thousands, possibly millions of repeated pictures and videos and things of these practices amongst this generation. Wide open is not the term that I'd like to use, nor would I use the term pandemic. What has taken place in our society today is a planned, systematic takeover of the culture, American culture, as we once knew it. You know, that Little House on the Prairie, Father Knows Best, and all that kind of Archie comic books and that kind of stuff, that's gone. You have an original Archie comic book, and they'll give you thousands of dollars for it, because that world is gone. The world that we are living in today, and it's ridiculous to me to see Christians frustrated with this and bemoaning the fact that it is gone. The only thing that I can suggest in this webcast, I've been talking 11 minutes and I've been trying to come to it, because you know what I always do is I always ask you, what can we do in situations like this? What could be the activity of our minds? Is there anything that we can do? Do we pull all of our kids out of public schools and put them in Christian schools? I dare say not, because Christian schools cannot get your kids back. And teaching them to be haters of other people is not going to get your children back. Christian schools are not the answer. I don't know why people think that. And I'm telling you, it's not, because these people in these Christian schools hate the sinners. They don't love them. What is a Christian school? A Christian school is a school that teaches the child to be Christ-like. And evangelicalism is not Christ-like. They hate the opposition. Now, sinners may be the opposition, but we are told to love them. That is the only weapon that we can use. We are to love our children. When our children turn out to be a certain kind of way, what do you think we're supposed to do? Blast them? Talk about them? Warn them that they're going to hell? Or what do you think? Or do you think we're to love them? When our children are trained and taught by us the ways of God, and when our children witnesses the love in our hearts, when they reject the message of Christ that we give them, that child should have the highest respect for you, because you love them regardless of whether or not they accept the God of your fathers. I believe that the Christian church has to change their strategies. I've been saying that for years. And until they change their strategies, the Christian church will continue to lose the battle for the society. That the society right in front of the Christian church will turn into a heathen society, because Christians, or the professing ones, refuse to love as Christ, our Lord, has commanded us. Now, it's not about whether you believe in Jesus. It's about whether you love, because that's the attribute that he came to share. Because your intellectual ascent of the mind means absolutely nothing. Raising a cross and putting it on a building without the love that that cross represents is just as abominable as our youngsters putting the crucifixes around their neck and having wild, illicit sex. It's just as abominable. You would ask these young men in my community, why do you wear the crucifix around your neck and you're behaving so poorly? Come back and tell me what answer that you received from them. They would say, I believe in God. This is what God is to me. Now, why did they come up with that idea? because the people that were supposed to be representing have not represented God in the correct fashion. And I'm not talking about the precept, unless the young boys or the scout leaders, what do they have? 20,000 pages of agenda on scout leaders from 1965 to 85. All right, ruin those men's lives to tell what they are. Do you know how much of that is going on today? I was speaking with a friend of mine, and he told me that a scoutmaster called him personally at his house. He doesn't know how the scoutmaster got his telephone number and was asking would he be interested in signing his boy up in the Boy Scouts. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that kind of recruiting in the Boy Scouts. I was a Boy Scout, and the only reason that I was in the Boy Scout is that my mom had died. I was living on the street. My scoutmaster lived down the street from me. My mom had died. Myself and my brother were going through a terrible time, and the scoutmaster came down and told my dad, I know your son is going through a terrible time. I'd like him to be in the Boy Scouts. Maybe that would cheer him up. Took me on a camping thing and stuff like that. But no, you don't do that. I know why that scoutmaster did that, because I know this young man's son. And that's the tragedy of, well, what can I say, of us losing our place. Now, since this America that once believed that it had a stabilized, firm religion, it no longer does. And I find this interesting because as I teach philosophy of religion, they claim that the religion of the Americas is Christianity. And in the text, it gives fundamental outlines of what Jesus Christ was all about and what that was all about. And I'd just like to share some of that with you right now. Out of the text that I teach philosophy of religion in. I'm kind of away from the mic because I'm kind of like pulling for the book right now for the text. Because I have it in a book satchel that's kind of snapped off. And I got to get it because I want to read it right from the section of Christianity. Because you see, we have this false idea. We have this very archaic and false idea that the secular world is not teaching the truth about our faith. That's a lie. That is not true. I am currently teaching this in my classroom, and I want to share this with you. Let me turn to the section on Christianity. And the text of the book is by Warren Matthews. It's called World Religions, and I'm reading from the 6th edition. Now, I want to read. I'm turning to the... Okay, here we are. Listen to this. And this is in the textbook itself. It says, the general themes of Jesus' teaching was the kingdom of God. He announced standards of human conduct that would prevail in the lives of people who lived according to the will of God. This is in the secular textbook. Listen to this. Jesus established God's perfection as the only standard by which personal conduct could be measured. The text goes on and says, the generous mercy of God set the pattern of the kind of generosity with which people were to treat one another, you know, the golden rule. Then it says that the kingdom could begin with a few like-minded people at any one time and place and increase as others freely choose to participate. Did you hear that? Freely choose to participate, not beat over your head trying to force you to follow that. Christianity has never been going out there and to make them come and to scare the hell out of them to get the heaven to come into them. The text goes on and says, the final fullest participation in the kingdom under the direct rule of God could not be predicted in terms of time. It is a mystery known to God rather than to humans. That's exactly correct. This is in the text, and I want you to follow along. And I want you to think about what a lot of Christians do. Now listen what it says. And I'm reading under the teachings of Jesus, page 281, under the historical development of Christianity. It says, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God had come and is come when God chooses. See? See, they aren't teaching anything different. They are teaching exactly the same things that we are looking at. And Jesus emphasized the kingdom of God. And then he says he had emphasized the personal side of religion, referring to God as our Father. He challenged men and women to fulfill their roles as children of the Most High. And then it says, and this is extraordinary, then it says that he welcomed children who came to him, saying that the kingdom of God was composed of people having childlike faith. Now, listen, I'm going to pause right here, and I'm going to share this with you, and I got to share it. Now, the reason that I'm sharing this with you like this is because this is in a secular text, and most of the time when I hear the church and they're arguing against secularism and things like that, they are giving the secular people a bad rap. This is in a secular text about Christianity, and I'm going to tell you the truth. If you go into the average church today, you will not hear people giving any kind of, you will not hear or see people giving any kind of accusation to this kind of stuff. Now, this is right out of the text. Now, I want you to continue to listen because, like as I said, most evangelicals pick a fight with the secular people. If in this article that someone emailed to me today is true, that these Christians emailed to me, why am I reading out of a secular text that I'm teaching in college that is not doing that? It is telling exactly what Christianity is. This nation is not trying to cover up what true biblical Christianity is. I will tell you what is going on, and I want you to listen to PJ, and I want you to hear what he's saying. True biblical Christianity has been misrepresented by the evangelicals, by the evangelicals, whatever you want to call them, who has turned their religion into the whoredom of making money and have popularized it and sensationalized it. The children of Christians, now I'm talking about parents my age, parents that are in their 40s, and I am not going to count the parents in the 30s because they and their children have already been totally demonized by the evangelicals, and their children will never adopt the true Christian faith because they see the hypocrisy of the people that call themselves Christians. Now, unless each of us own up to the fact that we are not living up to the basis of what the true Christian faith is, we cannot complain about the secularism that has confronted our society today. This secularism has spread its wings all throughout the school system, and of course, we have homosexuals and gays teaching in the schools, because these are the people that were badgered, beat up, and torn apart by the evangelicals instead of the evangelicals displaying, as the textbook states. And I'm talking about a secular textbook that I have in my hand. Listen to this statement right here. It's on page 282. It says, the people who followed Jesus thought that he showed them the proper way of relating to God. Early Christians were known as members of the way. John's gospel reported Jesus saying, I am the way. And then they quote John 14:16. Using a Jewish concept of the way in the Old Testament, Jesus and his followers emphasized it as God's preferred path for human conduct. Jesus' teachings were memorable. Ordinary people called him rabbi or teacher. It was a title of respect, but Jesus had no formal rabbinic training. His hearers were aware that no one else spoke the way that he did. He taught without giving references to quotations from Hillel or Shammai, leaders of the rabbinic schools, and their disciples. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I look in the contents of this book to try to see who the people were writing this, was this Warren Matthews? And he went to Old Dominion University emeritus. Is this a theologue that wrote this book? Because I'm looking at all of this and I'm saying this is an excellent indication of what Christianity was. If I were a pastor in a church, I would get this secular book and I would teach Christianity from this text rather than from the Rick Warren's, the user-friendlyism, and the foolishness that is out there today. It is no wonder that the children of the evangelicals are falling away from the Christian faith. The answer is not in taking them out of public schools and putting them in Christian schools. That's not going to do it, because when you send your children who have already been demonized by their parents, because I'm telling you, if the parents don't love and if the parents are not living this the way it's supposed to be lived. Now, let me back off again. Here I am. I'm 26 minutes into the webcast and I got to share this with you. No, I as a parent was not perfect. I failed in raising my children because I did not raise them thoroughly 100% Christian. How could I, living in a secular society? We have the secular music all around us. I wouldn't allow it in my house, but do you think they didn't listen to it? Of course they listened to it. Their friends listened to it, so they listened to it. I recall I did a Dioprox conference with Bob Klink. When we went up to Northern California, we went into a part of the state where these particular Christian parents told me that they did not allow their children to listen to secular music or to look at television. Their children dressed the way they did when they were children, but they were out in the middle of the country, the woods. I recall myself asking one parent, "What are you going to do when your child moves to the city? What are you going to do when he sees that he needs a higher education and he starts blending in with the people of the culture that he grew up in?" Well, I know what was going to happen. You're going to lose that child. And anytime you think that the culture is moving in a rapid shift, listen, parents, don't get angry at me. The culture is moving in a rapid shift. It is moving. It has moved. It will move. It will continue to move. As that culture moves, there will be a change and a switch in that culture. It will show itself in the lyrics of the song, in the beat of the music, in the way the party is given, in the way the people of the culture dress, the way they drive their cars, the way they put more entertainment in their cars. There was a time when you could get in a car and all you had was an AM radio. Now you can get in that thing and watch the movies, listen to stereo, air condition your side of the car as opposed to the other. Individuality is even taught when you buy an automobile. The culture has shifted. We are living in the modern era. Here's the inevitable question that I'm asking on this webcast. How can we that call ourselves Christians and love God live according to the will of God without being influenced by the culture which we are going along with? The answer is we cannot. Now, Jesus knew that when he said you are to love one another. Why do you think he kept pushing the proposition of loving? Because he knew that name calling and calling people sinners and things like that and threatening them with the burning fires of hell would not turn anyone towards God. I believe that Jesus knew something that we all know. Now, he told us about the realities of hell. You go to my last webcast that I did. I did one on hell. My radio producer wrote me and said it was a great webcast. I don't think it was great. It was common. That's the way it is. But I'm looking at how do we rescue a faith? How do we rescue a faith that seemingly, because most of my students tell me that their faith is not the faith of their parents. They don't adapt to it. Why not? What was it that the church did not do in the lives of the parents of these youngsters, college students, high school students, middle school students, grammar school students? What is it that the parents did not do that brought about the loss of their children? That's the question that I'm asking today. And with that question, I'm going to end it right there. And I'll come back on the next day and we'll address that. And I want you to address it as listeners to my webcast. And if you can answer that question, I want you to email me into the word, the numeric one, at AOL.com. What is it that the evangelical parents did not do that brought about the loss of their children? Don't blame your children's not following Christianity on the school system. It's not the school system. The school system is supposed to be secular. Your homes were supposed to be sacred. The school system is a secular system. That's why they're trying to say, don't be quoting God and singing about God and praying in the schools. Now, whether or not your children can pray in the schools, do they pray at home? The answer is no. So if they're not praying at home, why in the hell do you want them praying in the schools? You get what I'm saying? And excuse my French, but it doesn't make any sense to me. Oh, they took prayer out to schools. Are you praying in your houses? No, you're not. You're running after the same thing your children are being taught to run after. And now you're asking, what's wrong with our children? No, what's wrong with you? So I want you to answer this question. Now, I dare you evangelicals to answer this. You seminarian students that listen to me, why don't you get bold enough to give me the answer? Because if not, what you're going to do is you're going to get involved in your religion to make money. That's what you go to that graduate school for, to make money. I went and so that I could sharpen my theology and know what the heck I was talking about when I spoke. I didn't go to make money. Some of you cats are going there to make some money because you believe that human beings are sapsucker people that will sit up and listen to your sorry butt dialogue about nothing, and then you would go on the internet on a website and try to fire up the congregation to say, look what public schools have done to our children. I want you to answer the question. What is it that the parents have done that has driven their children away from the God of the universe, that they don't believe it? I'll be back tomorrow. You're listening to Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, United States of America, on this good planet Earth. And you know the drill. Whatever you do, stay into the Word.